1 John chapter 4, we've been on a series for a number of weeks now that the title is Try the Spirits, and it's based on this verse here in 1 John 4. We'll begin in verse 1, and I'm excited today. The Lord is answering our prayers about this. We prayed a prayer at the beginning of this asking for the Lord to show us these things and reveal. And, man, I got some things yesterday.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. And so it takes the Lord an utterance to get it out. But you're believing with me, right? Well, just what we just prayed. In 1 John 4 and 1, 1 John 4 and 1, he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try," and that word try means to test or examine the spirits. What are you testing them for? To see whether they're of God or not. Here's a great lesson. Just because it's spiritual and real, that doesn't make it God. This has confused a lot of people. Just because you felt something, just because you had a vision and it was real, or you heard a voice and it was real, that does not make it God. If it was, if everything spiritual was God, you wouldn't need to do this. Test it, try it, examine it. Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so these are individuals who are prophesying, but it's not the Holy Spirit. These are individuals that are seeing things and having revelations and dreams, but it's not God. And he said, "Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Now, I think sometimes we just focus on that last part, in the flesh, but that's not the whole thing. The first part is that Jesus Christ has come. Did you hear that? We're not waiting on Messiah. Messiah has come. And he didn't just come in a spiritual experience. The Word was made flesh. Born of a virgin. And just as real flesh and man that you could touch and see and hear as you or I. And any spirit that's bringing revelation of something different from that is not of God. Every spirit, verse 3, that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of anti-Christ. Anti means against. Against, and Christ is the anointed one. Against the anointed one. Whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now, this is the second time he's used that phrase about in the world. And you'll find he's going to continue to use that phrase, in the world. Everybody say, in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's what? See, that's the third time. In the world. He's drawing a contrast. Spirit that's of God, spirit that's not of God. The spirit that's in you, the spirit that's in the world. He's drawing a contrast. Verse 5, they are what? Of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. Verse 6, we're of God. That's a contrast from being of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're of God. This is something you ought to shout about all week long, right? We are not of the world. Because many wrong spirits have gone out into the world. That's not us. We have the Spirit who is of God. We're of God. Not of the world. Somebody say, I'm of God. We're of God. He that knows God hears us. He that's not of God doesn't hear us, which is why there are people that won't listen to you. Or me. They didn't listen to Jesus. They didn't listen to Paul or Peter. Why? Because they're of the world. And like we saw from 2 Corinthians 4:4 in previous studies, Satan is called the god of this world, and he has blinded the minds of those that believe not. That's why what should be so clear and so obvious, they can't see it. They don't see it. They could see it if they'd repent. And he says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now we saw in the fifth chapter, if you go, this is 1 John 4, just over to the fifth chapter and the first verse. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I want to see a show of hands. Who believes that Jesus is the Christ? I'm looking. Do I need to give an altar call right now? I'm looking. That's not everybody. Who believes that Jesus is the Christ? Okay, that's more better. Yeah. All right. Hey, this is eternal life and eternal death. This is heaven and hell. This is as serious as it gets. Believe that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, John is the same man that God used to write the gospel account of John. And then 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. The same man, the same individual. He's also the one, you know, that sat next to Jesus. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
With his head on his shoulder.
Yes, sir.
And he also referred, gave himself a name. The disciple whom the Lord loved. He didn't say he didn't love anybody else, but he said, I'm the one he loves. No? And he's right. He's right. And he had a revelation of this beyond others. But it wasn't just John. This is not just John speaking. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through him. But you see, what he says here is referred to in the gospel account of John. What Jesus told them in John 14 and other places. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. If you love God, and that's what we're talking about this morning. If you love God, two big things will be evident. And if they're not, you don't love God like you say you do. If you love God, number one, you will do what he tells you to do. Not my words, Jesus' words in John 14. You will keep his commandments. You will do what he tells you to do. If you won't do what he tells you to do, it's obvious you love something else more than him. Or elsewise, you'd do what he told you to do.
That's good.
You, me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how quiet it is?
Yes, sir.
I'm quoting the master. He's the one who said this. And the second thing, if you love God, you will love his kids. You will love his people. In spite of their annoying, huh? Whatever, you know, their mistakes. You don't have to love all their junk. But you do need to love them because God loves them. And if you love God, you're going to care about what he cares about. And he cares about, number one, his kids. Including you. Right? So two big things, if you love God, they'll be evidenced by doing what he tells you to do and loving his kids. And verse 19 says this, down to if you, 5th chapter, 19th verse. We know that we are of God. He's saying this again. And the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, last Sunday, we touched on this back up to verse 19, where he said the whole world lies in darkness or wickedness. The whole world. And you see, he was talking about that in the previous chapter. He kept talking about in the world, in the world, in the world. What is the world? He's not talking about the earth. The world is the present, current, ungodly, even anti-Christ, anti-God, culture, environment, ways and deeds of the population of the planet. And most of it is ungodly. Even have replaced God with false gods and other gods. And this is something that's a threat to you and I. It's something that we live in, and so we are surrounded by it, and it will pull on you if you let it. The world. The world. Most of what comes through the TV is the world. Most of what comes over the internet is the world. Right? Most music is the world. Every book, every song, every script for every movie or show, somebody wrote it. They had to find the inspiration somewhere. Where did it come from? Before it was a movie, it was a script. Before it was a script, it was in somebody's mind. Right? Where did those thoughts come from? And that thoughts are spiritual. We already are more familiar with this than you may think. Does anybody know that thoughts are real? You had some this morning, right? Thoughts are spiritual. You can't see them. You can't hear them. You can't touch them. You can't feel them physically. They can affect things, but the thought itself is unseen. It is spiritual. Well, they come from somewhere, right? They came from somewhere. The enemy, all the time, he's bringing wrong thoughts to people, and they don't know enough about what's going on. They assume they came up with it. Huh? They think it just came up out of them. They just generated these things. No. Thoughts come from wrong spirits. Thank God thoughts come from the Holy Spirit. The thoughts of God. Hallelujah. But we are told to test everything. Try everything to see what's of God and what's not, so that we'll know what to receive and what to resist. Some of the most important things you could ever learn in life. This goes on to say in verse 19 in these other translations, the RSV says, the whole world is in the power of the evil one. The NIV says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The New Century says the evil one controls the whole world. The Holman says the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. I think that's a good translation, that word sway, because, you know, the King James said lieth in wickedness. Under the sway, under the influence of darkness and evil. That's the whole world. The complete English says, we are certain that we come from God, and the rest of the world is under the power of the devil. The Living Bible says, we are children of God, and all the rest of the world around us is under Satan's power and control. If that's true, is God controlling everything down here?
No.
And yet that's what's preached from a lot of pulpits, is that God is controlling everything. Oh, there's some evil, awful, cruel, terrible destruction, and I know you don't understand it, people say, but it's God working out His thing. No, it is not. That's not true. It's not true. Now, something that we need to understand in Romans 8, just go there for a moment. Hold your place in 1 John. We're coming back there. But in Romans 8, this is something that's often misquoted. Isn't it wonderful to get light from the Word and learn the truth and get free from wrong thinking? And in Romans 8, verse 28, you hear people say sometimes, and they're misquoting this verse, they'll say, you know, well, everything works together for the good. Have you ever heard that? Well, you know, all things. You'll see people sometimes, terrible things have happened. They said, well, I know we don't understand it, but it's all going to work out for the good. And they think they're quoting this. Somebody said, well, we know that all things work together for good. Somebody said, well, there it is right there. No, you stopped reading in the middle of the sentence. Two, a very specific group, right? Not to everybody. To them that love God, and to them who are called according to His purpose. That's who the things are going to work together for good for. Not everybody at all. No, there's all kind of people that things are not working out for their good. And it's not going to. Does everybody on the planet love God?
No.
They do not. So this verse is not for them. Do you love God?
Yes.
Then this is your verse.
Yes.
Let me look over here. Do you love God?
Yes.
Then this is your verse.
Yes.
Somebody said, this is my verse. This is my verse. What does that mean? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Let me tell you an interesting thing about this. You know, our dear friend and elder, Brother Kenneth Copeland, who's been in aviation in ministry, I don't know, since the 60s, and influenced a lot of people like us in a lot of things. But they were on a trip in their plane, and They got through speaking, and they came back to the plane, and it's later, and they want to go home. They couldn't get the door open. And the pilot had tried to get the door open for 2 hours before trying to get ready for them to come, and he had phoned and told them, said, I'm sorry, I can't get the door open. I can't get the door open. And they'd done everything they knew to do. They had called people and all kind of things. And well, Brother Copeland was in the car. They're taking him back to the plane. He said this verse came up to him. All things work together for good to them that love God. He said, well, I love God. And he said, just like that, he saw the inside of that door and all the mechanisms that need to work together for this to happen. And he said, he just spoke to him and said, things work together for my good. He told the pilot's name was Dwayne. He said, Dwayne, try it again. Dwayne went out there, opened right up. Hey! So they could go home. There are things in here we haven't seen yet. Is that right? Whoa. That affect us in our life if we'll listen to the Spirit about it. No, all things work together for a specific group of people. Those who love God. I want to hear you say it again. I love God. So all things are working together for my good and for God's glory. Now go back to 1 John, the second chapter. Man, I can already see you're going to have to come back. This has grown on me. Can you come back?
Yes.
In 1 John 2, in verse 15, notice this. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world. Now, again, what is the world? It's not, you're not talking about the earth. God made the earth. The world is this present age of ungodliness. Why would you need to be told not to love it? Because it's got glitter. Right?
Yes,
and there is a temporary pleasure in sin. So I can't believe you said that. I'm quoting scripture from Hebrews. Huh? Yeah. I mean, if sin was awful, nobody would do it. Right? If there was no... I know we were out on the boat one time years ago. And we came by this place, and on the shore, there was this club. And, oh, man, the music was rocking, and there was all kind of hollering and carrying on. We had some friends of ours, and their young daughters were there. And boy, their eyes were lit up, and their mother tapped them and said, oh, baby, they're not having fun over there. That's they looked at them like they look like they're having fun. Well, we didn't go, of course, but you could tell the kids were not convinced that partying was not fun. And why do so many people do it? Because there is a temporary pleasure of sin. There is. But the end of it is death. The wages of sin is death. And the Lord doesn't tell us not to do things to spoil our fun. He wants to save us from death and loss and curse. He said, love not the world. Well, the understood subject is you. You and I are not to love the world. Said out loud, don't love the world. Don't love the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Don't love them. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now again, people, you'll hear a lot of people say, I love God. But you can look at their life and tell that they don't. It's empty words. And the scripture, the Lord revealed himself. Anybody remember what the first commandment is of the Ten Commandments? Huh? There's only one God, right? And you love him and you worship him only, right? Everybody say only.
Only.
He's a jealous God. He uses the example of a husband and wife. And a husband that loves his wife is not okay with her having other men that she loves as much or more than him. If he says he's okay with it, he doesn't really care about her. No, he doesn't. And God cares about us. He really cares about us, and he's not willing to share us. with other gods. And that was the big failure. Have you read the scriptures? You know, Genesis through the Malachi in the Old Testament. The biggest thing that destroyed them was going after other gods. That was it. And that was the thing he warned them about and warned them about. He warned them in the good times that it could happen, and they didn't listen. Is that still a problem today?
Yes.
Going after other gods. Oh, it's the biggest problem. It's the main problem. Because, you know, people are going after false gods by billions of people on the planet worship something other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there are other things you can worship. You can worship money. You can worship success. You can worship all kind of things. You can worship technology. I mean, the list goes on. The Bible says covetousness is idolatry. So anything you want more than God is an idol to you, is a god to you. You can be your own god.
Hmm?
You're a fool if you do.
Yes, sir.
But if you're smart, and that's all we have at Faith Life Church,
is
smart people,
Come on.
Huh?
Yes.
Then the Lord is your God,
yes.
and He alone is your God. You don't worship any other. You don't serve any other. Everybody said out loud, the Lord is my God.
Lord is my God.
I worship Him only.
I worship Him only.
Hallelujah. Him only do I worship. Now it goes on to say, this is 1 John 2 and 15, don't love the world, don't love the things that are in the world. If any man, and a man refers to male and female, love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I talked about Revelation yesterday, and I've said some of these things, but man, I saw it in a greater way, in a stronger way. We asked the question earlier, when we say try the spirits, and he said the whole world is lying under the sway of the evil one. That means the vast majority of the human beings on the planet are being manipulated and influenced by wrong spirits, and they don't even realize it. And Christians can be too. If they don't know what's going on, and if they don't know what to resist. And so our question was, and I told you we'd get to this, about the practical, how do I, will I be protected from being influenced by a wrong spirit?
Yes.
You want to know?
Yes, sir.
How can I be, you and I, not be in the same state with the world? He keeps talking about we're of God. We're not of the world. This is one of the biggest things right here. And it sounds so simple. Don't let it be too simple for you. Loving God. This is what's supposed to be the answer. That's the answer. Loving God truly protects you. Because If you're not going to be pulled away by what pulls millions away, it'll be because you loved something else more. And that helped you not to get pulled in and sucked in to the world with everybody else. Which is why did you see what he just said? If you love the world, you're in trouble. Why? Because you don't love the Father. The love of the Father, am I reading Scripture? Is not in you. Now you can say you do, but if you backslide and leave the church and chase after this and that, your actions are speaking louder than your words. You love that more than you love God, or else you'd have stayed hooked. Right? And the problem wasn't that the Lord couldn't help you, the Holy Spirit couldn't help you see what was going on and prevent you from being duped. The problem was your heart longed for something else more than it did God. And that makes you vulnerable.
Yes.
Can you see that?
Yes.
So did the scripture say? Did Jesus say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, right? All your mind, all your strength. Well, what is that? That's not just a passing, you think he's all right. Huh? You love the Lord your God with all, A-L-L. A-L-L. Look at your neighbor, say A-L-L.
A-L-L.
What does that mean?
All.
Huh?
All.
Nothing held back.
Nothing held back.
Huh? That's, you know, Jesus said this. He said, you can't serve two masters.
Right?
You'll love one and hate the other. You'll hold to one and you'll despise the other. Why? Because you get pulled. And at some point you have to decide, no, I like this more. Right? And you'll forsake one and go after the other. And what we must do is love God more. Hmm? And you know, Jesus talked about this. If you love your mother and father more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your son and daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. You must make the choice that you love God more. More than anything or anybody, including yourself. Is that right? And everybody around you needs to know. Don't make me pick between you and God. Don't do that, because I've already decided. Right? I won't even have to pray about it.
Come on.
Don't make me pick. Don't make me pick. Said out loud, I love the Lord God with all my heart,
all my soul,
all my mind,
all my strength.
Hallelujah. Well, that's with your entire being, right? Everything you are, everything you have, you love God. This cannot be overemphasized. It is, you know, we talk about faith. We're Faith Life Church. But faith works by love, right? And the love he's talking about is a revelation of God's love for you and your love for him and each other. It's the whole thing. But it's not something that you just pass by. And I hear people say that, oh, they love the Lord. They love the Lord. You know, Pastor so-and-so, he loves the Lord with all his heart. But, you know, last week he ran off with the piano player and the building fund, you know. But he's spirit-filled, you know. Not that day he wasn't. And not several weeks before then. You see what I'm talking about? No, he decided, or she decided, they loved something more than they loved pleasing God, and so they left him and went and did that. And I'm not judging anybody. I know it sounded funny, but I'm not. Except for the grace of God, you and I could have fallen 1,000 times. Huh?
Yes, sir.
I'm not judging anybody, but I'm saying, if we want to be right and safe, the thing that'll keep us is we love God. No matter how much our flesh or our mind might want something that's in the world.
Yeah.
People don't want to talk about this because they're like, I don't want anything in the world. Yeah, sit there and keep looking straight. You, your flesh did not get born again.
Right.
Huh? You got the same flesh that Joe Sinner down the street has got, and it will do anything you let it do. Huh? And the old spirits that you used to hang out with and party with, even after you've been saved for 30 years, they'll roll up in the driveway on Saturday night and hit the horn and say, hey, hey, you remember us? You remember we used to get down? I mean, you remember us? We could party. You remember us? Come on. Come on, let's have some fun. Hmm? What would keep you from just saying, yeah, let's go? Huh? You love, well, you know, us married people. What keeps us from running off with somebody else every other week, you know? We love God more than anything else. And that allows God to protect you and keep you. Can you say amen? Look, hold your place here in 1 John and look at Psalms. Let's see, what is it? Turn to the Psalms, please. Psalm 97, that's what it is. Hold your place in 1 John. Do you think this is important? Is this? It really is. Psalm 97 and verse 10. Well, let's read verse 9, goes with it. It says, Psalm 97, 9, you, Lord, are high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. What do you mean, all gods? Well, on the one hand, there are no other gods. But there are things that people worship as gods. But they don't compare to him. Nothing does. Verse 10, you that love the Lord. Who's that? Who's that? You, huh? You that love the Lord, do what?
Hate evil.
Hate evil. So, Mr., I thought we were not supposed to hate. We're not supposed to hate human beings. I can hate the devil all I want to. And I can hate his junk and his spirits. And in fact, if I don't, I'm not seeing it right.
That's right.
That's right. I hate disease,
yes.
Sickness. What it does, God has made beautiful human bodies and amazing things, and sickness can distort it and destroy it until it don't even resemble what God made it to be. That's evil.
Yes.
I said, that's evil.
Yes.
I hate disease.
Yes.
Hmm? It can never be a blessing in disguise. It's an evil thing. I hate poverty. People are dying on the planet today because of not enough to eat. That's poverty. I hate it. I despise it. Somebody say, I love God.
I hate evil.
Now, that doesn't mean you hate any human being. Now, you don't hate any human being. But you hate evil. But notice he goes on to say, he, God, preserves the souls of the saints. Of who? Those that love the Lord. And he delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Is this what we're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Not being duped by these evil spirits. God, is he able to keep you in the light? When people all around you are being deceived and confused, can God keep you in the clear and keep you free? Yeah, but what's your part? You love him. You that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. So go ahead and say that. I love God. And he keeps me from evil. He preserves me. Hallelujah. Now go back to 1 John 2. You got a couple more minutes. We'll get to a place where we can unhook and maybe get back to this later. Verse 15, 1 John 2:15. Don't love the world. Does everybody need to hear this? Yeah. Why? Because there's things in the world. Maybe, you know, some things have no appeal to you, but they're the things that do. Y'all are too quiet. I didn't say confess it, but don't act like that it's not a possibility. And one of the reasons you should never, play around with getting drunk, getting high. Are y'all with me? Sex acts and perversion is because your flesh may really, really like it. And if you had never done it, you couldn't be tempted by it. The enemy would have nothing to work with on you. And you'd have made life so much easier for yourself. Young people, are you listening to me? Huh? A lot of older folks have already tried some stuff, but young people, I know a lot of you have too, but it's not too late.
That's right.
I'm telling you. A lot of things you are so much better off never doing, never experiencing, because then the enemy can't bother you with it. But regardless, if you were in it over your head and the Lord delivered you, you can stay free. If you love God, oh, somebody say love God. If you love God more than you do anything else. And like we were talking earlier, if he says to you, I don't want you doing this, even if every, you know, pore of your being cries out, yeah, but we like this, we like this, we want to do this, he's smarter than you. I said he's smarter than you. He knows, he's right. And agree with him. And say, okay, all right, Lord, if that's what you say, that's what it is. You have to love God to do that. Don't you? To put your flesh under. Because otherwise, you're just going to keep doing it. And the moment you do, grace will come, hallelujah, to do what you could not do. In 1 John 2, he describes, don't love the world. So go ahead and say it out loud, I don't love the world. I love God. I'm not of the world. I'm of God. And greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Don't love the world. Don't love the things that are in the world. If you do love the world, that's a sign that the love of the Father is not in you. Can't do both. Can't serve two masters. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, and he mentions three main things. And he mentions lust. And when we hear lust, sometimes our mind tends to go just down one track. But lust just means desire and strong desire. It means longing. It can mean craving, but it's wanting something. The desire, the wantings of the flesh, that can be for any number of things. The longing, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life. So two big things that he mentions here, because, and see, we're already into this now, how to identify a wrong spirit and how to be protected from being tricked by it or deceived by it. Well, what's number one we've already given you? Love God. Right? Love God. And here he mentions two things to watch out for. Desire and pride. Now another one we're going to talk about later is fear. Remember the Bible said, talks about God didn't give us the spirit of fear. So definitely spirit activity there. Well, there's spirit activity going on with desire. He mentions desire twice. And so James talks about this, that says, don't let anybody say when they're tempted that God is tempting them. Didn't he say that? Because God cannot be tempted with evil, and he does not tempt anybody with evil. But every person is tempted when they are drawn away, of their own what? Lust, which is desire. So the desire is the issue, which comes right back to what do you want more? God or that? Every person is drawn away by their own lust, by their own desire, and enticed. Now, that's what the devil does. He's in the enticement business, right? And especially, he has imps follow you around and watch you and listen to you. And when they see what your weakness is, as they say, what you really want and like, then they try to set up snares, It sets you up to fall for something they see you want that's not God and that's not right. enticed. And then he talks about, you know, that the sin is conceived, and then when it's finished, there's death. And that agrees with the wages of sin is death. And yeah, you know, it's party for a while, but then it's destruction and it's death. And God wants to spare us from that.
Yes.
Right? Can you see that?
Yes.
And so he says, all that's in the world. So this is details now. He told us don't love the world. Now he's given us specifics of what he means by that. The desire of the flesh. That the flesh is feeling, sensation. It can be eating, sleeping, drugs, sex. It's sensations, feelings. And the desire of the eyes. And that has to do with the mind and fantasy and wanting to see. And the eyes of man are never satisfied. Huh? That's why the searches on Google are endless. Right? The eyes always wanting to see something else, something else, something else, something else. Just look straight ahead and say, amen, Brother Keith. Amen. Somebody needs to hear this. The pride of life. Now, this one has to do with basically showing off. That's what it is. Showing to showy. Ostentation is one word. But it has to do with being a show-off, trying to impress people, wanting to be seen, wanting to be noticed. Of course, none of y'all ever had any issues with that. Huh? But that's the world. The whole world, that's how they function. That's how they operate, to be seen of men. And so you can do that with religion. You want people to see how spiritual you are. Huh? See how holy you are. See how smart you are. How many scriptures you can quote. How much you pray. No, no, no. The showiness. The show off. But I believe Faith Life Church can be some of the strongest people around, aware of the devices and workings of the enemy, and are not fooled and duped, but they see it when it's coming. They say, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. You're trying to pull me on that desire of the eyes. You're trying to pull me on that desire of the flesh. You're trying to pull me to be a show-off. And no, I'm not going to do it.
Amen.
Not going to do it. Because greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And I tell you, you make that choice and you let that come out of your mouth with faith, the grace of God will come right up in you. The strength of God will come up in you. And you will be able to stand and not fall. Hallelujah. And you'll be able to be free, get free and stay free and help others to get free too. Do you believe it? Stand on your feet, everybody.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.